Okay.
Oh God, hope I shut that off. Good evening, everyone. We are going to wait just a few more moments for our chair to come into the meeting and begin the meeting. So we'll ask for your patience for just a few moments. And LaToya, out of respect for everyone's time, we'll give him another minute or so. If you see him, join him before I do. If you'd let me know, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
While we're waiting, LaToya, I have a question. how can I get the recording for the meeting that we had last week?
So I sent out the link to the CAC webpage. I did find out that the link for the Operation Food Secure is not correct. So I'm currently working with IT to get that updated, but all of the other links are available on the CAC webpage.
And, okay.
I can resend that out to you, Eleanor.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Looks like, okay. I believe James is on now.
Chair, if you don't mind starting the meeting, we'd appreciate it.
No problem. How's everybody doing today? All right. Just a quick reminder, if you're calling in by phone, it is *6 to mute and unmute yourself. So if you need to speak or you want to speak, please press *6. And then once you're done speaking, please press *6 again to mute yourself. So that way it doesn't mess up the audio. So with that, we'll just go ahead and open up this meeting. Before we get too much further, I want to thank everyone for coming to this. There's some things that we need to be discussing and get the information out to each other as soon as possible. I want to be respectful of you guys' time, but I also want to implore you to understand that there's some really, really, really big things that are going on right now, and it can very much affect our CAC and our NIAs. So please be active in this conversation with us, and I'm going to pass it off to Monique or LaToya.
Sure. Thanks, James. Thanks, everyone, for taking time out of your schedule yet again to join us to have an important conversation about the empowerment restructuring program, the restructuring of the program. Here will be the layout of the meeting. We'll talk about the directive that was provided to the Department of Neighborhood Relations regarding the empowerment program, the change that will take place, the alternatives that the Division of Community Engagement has come up with some potential new programming, the budget that's been identified for that. We will then go over each of the three new potential programs that we have, then allow you comments, questions, suggestions. We'll go over the three of those. And then we will just allow you to talk until 8 o'clock. If we're done at 7 o'clock, 6:30, it's at your discretion. We're not going to rush you. And we will share with you the timeline after today, the timeline that we have for additional questions, suggestions, potential programs. If I'd ask you just to please keep in mind, there are eligible activities that we must meet for the HUD funding, for the CDBG funding. So we can't just come up with any type of program and then submit it to ask if it would be able to be approved. We have created these three programs based on the eligibility activities that we have been provided. So with that, I will share the same information that I shared last week. The Department of Neighborhood Relations have been given the directive that the $137,000 that was earmarked for the empowerment program would be needed utilized for the weatherization program. Their decision was based upon the housing study that was done earlier this year and the priority recommendations provided by the consultants. And so Latoya, if you don't mind going to that slide, please. Everyone was emailed the study, and hopefully you've had a chance. I know it's a large document, but a chance to review part of it. But on page 102 and 103 of the PDF of the study, it talks about their priority recommendations. And one of those bullet points speaks of the importance of the weatherization program, how they feel it will help the housing inventory, and that there was CDBG funding identified to be able to be earmarked for the program. Unbeknownst to me, and that's quite all right, the decision was made that the empowerment money would, the entire $137,000 would go towards the weatherization program. The Division of Community Engagement thought that having some form of community building funding would be vital for us to have so you could continue to do great work in your community. And so we had great discussion with the city manager and in regards to please give us some of the $137,000 so you can continue to do community building work in your community and your neighborhoods. And so we have been given $45,000 to $60,000. It can be as little as $45,000, as much as $60,000, not more than $60,000 to be able to have some new programming. So with that, we had to scramble. We needed to scramble due to the due date of the 2021 to 2020 six consolidated action plan that is due at the end of this month to HUD. So we scrambled as much as we possibly could to come up with some, what we feel, some quality programs that could still be very beneficial to your neighborhoods. And so with that, we're going to begin to talk about those. I'd ask if you don't mind, please, to allow Latoya to speak about the program. Hopefully you have it in front of you. And if not, she will provide that data for you. And then please, whatever questions you have, we thought that we would take about 10 minutes or so per program. Latoya, is there any way that you could possibly pull up each program? Do you have that slide prepared for them?
So I've actually put the information from the PDFs that were provided into the presentation.
Wonderful.
So it's all the same information that they have on those PDF documents.
Wonderful. So yours may look a little different than the PDF that she gave you, but I'm going to turn it over to Latoya so she can therefore share the program. So she will share the first program and then we'll open it up for any questions or comments. I would ask, please, if we could just, if you don't mind, just focus on these three this evening, and then you will have, we'll share the timeline with you. You'll have from June the 24th to July the 7th. If you've come up with some other programming, whatever suggestions and questions you have, we're going to do everything we can to make sure to include those to ensure that everyone's ideas are captured and that we can have full programs. So Latoya, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. Can everyone see the presentation okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we'll start with the first program that we sent out, and that is the Topeka Community Development Program. So this program would basically allow the neighborhood to identify challenges, develop some different goals and solutions that engage the community and also encourage building of partnerships through creative community-led projects, events, or programs. The eligibility for this program is all in my neighborhoods. We're eligible to apply for this opportunity annually. The selection process basically would be that neighborhood really should develop a community partnership committee that would score and select neighborhood projects for this award. The financial award for each neighborhood would be up to $2,000. And then the timeline or time frame for the completion of the project, event, or program would be 1 year. Example eligible activities for this program would be community block parties, festivals, social awareness events, community interest club group projects, or neighborhood cleanups. The total proposed program budget for this program is $10,000. And so with that, we thought we'd take some time in between each of these for any questions that you have about that program specifically.
Latoya, can you hear me? This is Teresa.
Yes.
I have a question because it's $10,000 and you can get up to $2,000 per neighborhood. We have 21, 22 NIAs, am I correct?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people are going to be left out of this money, am I correct?
So it would be based on who applies and then who is selected by the community partnership committee.
Okay. With us being so strapped for money, I get it that everybody wants to do festivals and block parties and all that, but don't you think that money could be used better in another way better than that?
So we have a few other programs, Teresa, that also address some other community issues. This program in particular is just one program that we're proposing. If you have any like specific questions about this program, I'd be happy to answer any of those.
I do. Neighborhood cleanups. Do we not already have funding set aside for neighborhood cleanups?
So you have your neighborhood support funds, which can be used for, as you know, kind of an array of different things. Neighborhood cleanups is kind of one thing that you can use this for, but it can be used for a lot of different things that the neighborhood could come up with. So I know some neighborhoods do various community festivals and various block parties. And this could just be another way to fund those activities if that was something that they were interested in doing. It's not a requirement. It's, as I said, it's not something that would be given out to the neighborhoods as the neighborhood support funds are. This would be like a grant type program that you could apply for if that was something that you're interested in.
Okay.
This is Eleanor. So not everybody would want or need the $2,000. So, you know, maybe you only need $1,000. Mm-hmm. So there would be more neighborhoods that could get this money.
That's correct.
Depending on what people want, you know, or need to ask for.
That would be correct. So if a group, for instance, only asked for $500 and another neighborhood asked for $1,500, a situation like that could potentially be the case.
Okay. This is Teresa Miller. So you're telling me these new programs that you guys are going to be talking about tonight are replacing the empowerment grant?
That would be correct.
When do we get to talk about the empowerment grant? Because Monique was saying that we just talk about these three and anything else that we'll talk about later. I really think the empowerment grant, since it's going away, needs to be put on the table.
So Latoya, I'll respond to that. First, my first response to you from your first question, Teresa, is when Latoya gets to the third program, cleanups are included there. So when she gets to that one, you'll hear that dollar amount. After we finish talking about these three, you're more than welcome to speak of whatever you'd like to in regards to the empowerment grant. You'll have that opportunity for sure to share whatever you'd like to share.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
All right, we'll take a few more minutes Does anyone else have any questions about the Topeka Community Development Program?
I have one question, hopefully only one. So for this program, who is going to decide who gets the money and who doesn't? Are we going to do a committee like has previously been done for the empowerment grant? Are we keeping that in the mix to where people from the community are actually voting on where this money goes?
So the Topeka Community Development Program would be similar to the way that empowerment currently is selected. There would be a selection committee that would select which projects would be awarded the funding.
This is Mike Bell. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I had a question, and maybe we'll discuss this a little farther along, regarding the cleanups. I know in the past the dumpsters have been furnished for free. Is that still in effect?
So as far as we know, with Shawnee County, there is one free dumpster. However, that does not include, as you're aware, Michael, the cost for trucks, if you want to have trucks, or any additional dumpsters or any additional events that a neighborhood would want to have, as well as, you know, if there were supplies such as trash bags and things, if the neighborhood wanted to have volunteers go out and actually pick up things in the neighborhood. So that would be something that could be all inclusive above and beyond the one free or the two free dumpsters that.
Two free. Okay. Yes. And that was going to be my follow-up, because in the past, that's the arrangement that we've had.
Yes. Okay. I have a few more minutes if anybody else has any other questions on this program, or we can move on to the next. Okay. Well, seeing that we have none so far, if you have any questions about the Topeka Community Development Program, we can come back to those at the end. So we'll move on to the next program, and that is the Neighborhood Impact Program. So this program would assist the neighborhood with interim initiatives that are already outlined in a neighborhood's comprehensive plan. So these projects must be things that are in line with the neighborhood's long-term vision and goals related to public improvements, public accessibility, or neighborhood beautification within the selected primary target areas that are identified if a neighborhood has already gone through the comprehensive plan process. So eligibility would be neighborhoods who have completed the SORT program within the last 5 years would be eligible to apply for this opportunity annually. The selection process, basically the CAC would score and select neighborhood projects for this award each year. Financial award is up to $10,000 for neighborhood improvement grant or matching grant funds. And the timeline for basically completion and execution of this project would be 1 to 2 years for design and execution. Example eligibility activities could include any type of public infrastructure or facility improvements, public accessibility or neighborhood beautification. The total recommended program budget for this program is $30,000. And are there any questions about the Neighborhood Impact Program?
I yes. do have one. This is Teresa Miller. Why do we have only the people that have completed the SORT grant program able to apply for this?
So this program, the thought process behind it was that it would be intended to continue work that is outlined in the SORT program that is not completed during the SORT process. those of you that have gone through SORT know that SORT only completes a portion of the projects outlined in your neighborhood plan. So this would be an opportunity for those neighborhoods to come back and have other projects outlined in that neighborhood plan also completed, and give them more of an opportunity in addition to the SORT application process that we have every year. So if I'm not selected for SORT, I can still maybe get something done that's already in my current plan.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more question about this program. Mm-hmm. Would this program be able to be used to bolster parks, or are the city and county still in disagreement about money being spent inside of parks?
So I would say that there has been verbiage added back into the SORT program, and there would probably be verbiage added into this program that would just basically state that any park improvements or things like that, it would have to be a 50-50 match. That was the agreement that the city manager and the city council agreed upon. So if there was going to be any park improvements, as long as Shawnee County Parks and Recreation was in agreement with it, they would have to be a 50-50 match on that program partnership.
This is Mike Bell. I guess my reaction to that is good luck with that. We've been going around with the Shawnee County Commission in particular on getting improvements done at our Lane Garden. And of course, there are issues present with our Lane Garden that are above and beyond what we'll discuss this evening. But the county commissioners, Tim Laurent, who is the new Parks and Rec director over there, has been great. But the county commissioners have made it quite clear to us that they have no interest in helping us with our park.
So that is that is not a decision made by the city. As I mentioned, the city is willing to still provide that partnership with the county if they would be willing to participate in a project such as that. But you know, that's the city no longer owns the park, so that wouldn't be something that we could override the county on.
Well, except for our park. But again, that involves issues that are above and beyond what we are gathered here this evening to discuss. So I won't belabor them. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that for those people who are thinking about parks improvements and they're going to approach the county, being forewarned is being forearmed.
Thank you, Michael. Are there any other questions about the Neighborhood Impact Program before we move on?
Just a couple of quick ones so I can clarify some things. So these are for the neighborhoods that are coming out of SORT, correct?
Neighborhoods that have had SORT within the 5-year range, yes.
Okay.
And so this would be... go ahead.
Thank you for answering that part on it. I just wanted to be double clear on it. So are we basically going to have to stick to SORT guidelines for this money? For instance, I know, when we were looking at our SORT, lighting wasn't something that was very keenly looked on by the city. Would this neighborhood impact program be a little bit more easy on things like that? Or are we still going kind of by the same book as we would have to go through with SORT?
So I would say that with both SORT and empowerment or any programs of that nature, we are still governed by, you know, whatever the city engineering specs and public works would basically allow in terms of funding. I know with the lighting, there are other issues. It's not so much that, you know, we could have a program that could put lighting in a neighborhood, but then it's who continues the maintenance on those lights, who continues to pay for, you know, the bill, the electric bill on those lights and things like that, that sort of come into play with projects such as that. So I would say that, yes, we would still have to follow those same you know, guidelines in terms of what would be allowed to spend the funding on. Yeah, so.
Could you give us a list of the neighborhoods that would qualify for this?
So we would provide that information basically if this program was selected. And then that information is also out on the planning website, so I can send out the information as far as which neighborhoods have had SORT within the last 5 years.
Just one more comment that I would contribute to this particular discussion item about lighting. We had identified in Tennessee Town as a goal, pedestrian mid-block lighting. And in fact, we spoke to the people over at KDOT and identified funding for it, but the Public Works Department, quite frankly, refused to help us. Cities had to submit applications for the funding, and the Public Works Department made it quite clear that it was not interested in helping us to do that. So again, another forewarned is forearmed point, I guess I'm trying to make here.
Thank you, Michael. Any other questions about the Neighborhood Impact Program?
No, this is Teresa Miller. The only thing I see with this, there for a while it seemed, and I don't think it's been in the last 5 years, but a lot of the same neighborhoods were getting back-to-back SORT grants because they get phase one and phase two, which left a lot of neighborhoods out. And with one neighborhood getting it at a time every year now, which will help, but it leaves a lot of neighborhoods out. And I just wanted to bring that up, but I'm hoping that this, if they choose this program, they need to understand there's only going to be a few neighborhoods that can even apply for that money.
That would be correct. And so that would change every year as one neighborhood is coming out of their SORT cycle, that they would be eligible then to apply for this program. But I think, Teresa, you're correct in that this would give people more opportunity to continue to work on the projects identified in their comprehensive plan while still allowing new neighborhoods to apply and have the SORT designation. Okay, I have about a minute left if we have any other questions. Otherwise, I will go ahead and move on to the next program.
So LaToya, unfortunately, Susan McClarity is having some audio problems, but she has a question pertaining to the three programs. Can neighborhoods that are in the flood plain zone participate?
Okay, so with CDBG funding, we're still gonna have the same requirements that we have because this is still HUD funding. So basically the same requirements that we have with both the current empowerment program and the SORT housing program are going to be the same requirements that we have with this funding. It depending on if you're having something built in the area or if it's as we mentioned with the previous program, if it's something that just, you know, maybe it's a neighborhood festival or neighborhood cleanup or an event like that, it's different than if we're actually doing something in a built environment. There again, if you had SORT for your comprehensive plan, we would be looking at those projects and things that had been identified as potential projects that could be completed with CDBG funding.
One more question. So I know in the past when we filled out the SORT grant, one of the questions on the SORT grant is, have you received a SORT or empowerment grant within the last 5 years?
Correct.
And that lowers your score for the SORT grant.
That's correct.
So as these neighborhoods come out of the Neighborhood Impact Program and their 5 years is up, is that going to turn around and count against them for another SORT project if they, if their neighborhood wants to do another SORT project?
Okay, so let me see if I'm understanding what you're asking. So for the Neighborhood Impact Program, it's any neighborhood that has had SORT within the last 5 years, as they're coming out of, you know, of course, that SORT cycle. We wouldn't want to start working with you if you're still in the SORT cycle, but once you've come out of the SORT cycle and you're ready to apply to do a project, any neighborhood would be eligible to apply for the Neighborhood Impact Program as long as they had had SORT within the 5 years. Now, the SORT program, there won't be any changes necessarily on that in terms of how it's scored. So it would still be, you know, if you've had SORT within the last 5 years, or yes, it could be if you've had one of these neighborhood impact programs, it may have some impact. But if you recall, James, I believe the impact is less than 10 points. So it, you know, it would depend. If there's a neighborhood that's coming in that's never applied for anything, yes, that's probably going to give them a higher chance of getting awarded either SORT or a neighborhood impact program. But it's really just to make sure that all neighborhoods have the opportunity if they apply. I think as Teresa mentioned that there are a lot of neighborhoods and we want to make sure that each of them has the opportunity. And those that haven't applied maybe have a little bit more of a scoring advantage than those that have already had some of the funding.
This is Teresa. It kind of confuses me because what I'm understanding is only the people that can apply or the, and I'm just saying five, because, you know, every 5 years, you're saying it has to be in the last 5 years. That means only five neighborhoods can apply for that grant. And so that leaves a lot of neighborhoods out, and they can't apply for this new program that you're wanting unless they have a SORT grant. So that leaves them out, a lot of neighborhoods out to even be able to apply for that program at all, because there's a lot of neighborhoods out there that have never gotten a SORT because there for a while the same neighborhoods kept getting it. And so I just want to make sure that I want a program out there that all neighborhoods can apply for funding like this, not just the five few.
We will definitely note that, Teresa, and this is Monique, and I ask that you please, when you complete your survey, that you make sure to make those comments in regards to this particular program and make your recommendations that it should be for all and not just for a few.
Yes. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
And if I can extend on Teresa's comments, it's been my understanding historically that that's what essentially the Neighborhood Empowerment Grant was for those neighborhoods to put together proposals that were outside of the SORT structure. And in fact, there were eligibility requirements that if you were a SORT neighborhood, you could not apply for Neighborhood Empowerment Grant funding, which I supported. And so I guess, you know, looking at it from that standpoint, I'm a little concerned now, as Teresa is, that those neighborhoods that are not SORT neighborhoods have not had that designation within the last 5 years are somehow getting shortchanged.
Yes, Mike, that's why at the very end of this, after we get through all three programs, I want to bring up the SORT grant and how, empowerment grant rather, and how important it is to all neighborhoods.
Sure, sure.
As Monique mentioned, I will go ahead and put that in the notes, and then we'll talk a little bit later about the survey that will be coming out. But yes, we would appreciate those comments in that survey time frame as well.
Thank you.
So moving on, we have the Love Topeka program. Now this program would provide mini grants, technical assistance, and other support to neighborhood groups who are wanting to take action on local problems. So neighborhoods could identify a target block in their neighborhood and show a need in their application for this process. As part of this program, through a partnership with Habitat for Humanity, Housing Credit Counseling, and United Way, residents living in the identified blocks would be eligible to earn funding for their neighborhood's project by meeting a combined volunteer service requirement of 30 volunteer hours per $500. What that means is basically a neighborhood could have a combination of volunteers that work together to potentially raise up to $2,500 that they could request for this type of community project. So volunteer hours could include work on other community block projects, organizing community engagement events, activities that encourage or assist other residents, Habitat for Humanity projects, or United Way Topeka volunteer opportunities. Volunteers may also receive 10 hours of volunteer credit for attending financial literacy or property maintenance education courses provided by HCCI or Habitat for Humanity. Eligible volunteers must also attend at least 3 neighborhood-sponsored events or meetings in the neighborhood during the previous year. This program would be designed to connect city leaders, community residents, and corporate partners in projects of service to help revitalize the neighborhood. Eligibility would be neighborhoods who have completed the SORT program within the last 5 years would be eligible to apply for this opportunity annually. Or no, I'm sorry. Eligibility is all LMI neighborhoods would be eligible to apply for this opportunity annually. The selection process, again, the CAC would score and select neighborhoods for this award each year. Financial award up to $2,500 per neighborhood. Timeline, 1 year. Example of eligible activities, so neighborhood projects could be things like graffiti removal on public infrastructure and facilities. Community neighborhood cleanups, community gardens, community murals, park cleanup, public facility amenity painting, as well as partnership projects, so assistance with habitat projects, public literacy, food stability, attending financial literacy, home ownership classes, and attending home improvement courses or providing those to the neighborhood. And then other approved anti-blight or LMI benefit projects. So the total program budget for this program would be, that we're proposing would be $20,000. Any questions on the Love Topeka program?
Yes, this is Teresa. A lot of these things that this money can go for, there's already things out there that take care of this, like graffiti. There used to be a graffiti line, and the city took care of that. So now you're wanting the neighborhoods to come up with the money to clean off the graffiti. It used to be that was a department of the city that did that. Clean up the parks. That's volunteers that usually clean up parks. I mean, a lot of your things that we do here, there's already programs in already there to do some of these things. So I'm kind of a little confused about why this slum and blight program was even brought up. Mike, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do. I'll get to where I'm at later on. I don't know that I necessarily have a problem with the Love Topeka program goals. Certainly you raise valid points, Teresa, about there being programs already in the community doing those kinds of things. But yeah, I'll chime in here shortly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments about the program?
LaToya, I think what Mike and Teresa are saying, I'll be brief, is it's just you feel as though there's a duplication of services being provided. That's kind of what it looks like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is Ann. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always amazed this thing works. So what would the money be used for? I'm thinking if you had people that were like attending, like the financial stability through United Way, would they then get paid to go to that meeting, or would we be paying their fee? Or I guess I'm not quite sure what this funding would be for.
So this funding could be used as an opportunity to create programs within your community. So I think as Teresa and Michael mentioned, it may seem like it's a duplication of programs, but as we know, like HCCI has classes at HCCI. So maybe neighborhood wants to have classes for financial literacy in their neighborhood. They could partner with HCCI to create a program that takes place in their neighborhood that does financial literacy classes.
I get it now. I understand now.
Okay.
I was just a little unclear. The question kind of on all of these. So are the empowerment grants just completely off the table for future years? I was under the impression that because of the whole mess with the virus and stuff that we wouldn't do empowerment grants this year, but next year we would have them eligible. I mean, we could still apply for some of them, but is it just going to be these three plus the city taking the money or somebody else taking that money and using it for what they recommend?
So, Anne, originally the empowerment grant was put on hold due to COVID-19. As I mentioned earlier, in the last month, I was informed that the entire $137,000 is going towards the weatherization program, looking at the priority recommendation that was given by the consultants. That directive has come from the city manager. I therefore advocated for the NIAs for community building funding, and I was given $45,000 to $60,000. It could not be the empowerment grant. Therefore, LaToya and I tediously came up with, first of all, having to read the huge HUD document, and then came up with programs that could be as close to empowerment as possible and allow some community building. What I want to stress again is that this is what we've come up with. And the reason why we asked for this meeting to be 3 weeks before we have to turn it into Corey Wright for it to be vetted is to give you time to see if they need to be massaged. You're not going to hurt LaToya and my feelings. If you say, out of the three, we only want one, great, that's fine with us. We wanted to give you a menu of services. So yes, ma'am, to go back to your question, the empowerment grant is no longer, it is dissolved.
From here on in.
Forever, yes.
Forever.
Yeah. Forever.
That's the directive I have been given. Yes, forever it is on the table.
How do we get it?
The city manager has given that directive.
Yes.
Here's the deal. They canceled it because of weatherization. Community Action does weatherization already. So, you know, that really upsets me that our city is cutting us out of something that improves every single neighborhood with an empowerment grant. Every single one can apply for that. Weatherization doesn't cover everybody. Plus, it's already covered by Community Action. So I'm not understanding why they're doing this. They're actually harming the NIAs as far as I'm concerned, because that empowerment grant has, and I've applied for it over the last 13 years several times, it has benefited my neighborhood greatly. So these other three programs, not so much. And so I'm not really excited about this. I think by canceling out the empowerment grant, it's going to actually hurt the NIAs, especially the lesser ones that don't really need the empowerment grant funding. So that's just my opinion.
Well, and let me extend on that. And first of all, let me extend my thanks to staff that are present on this call and other staff at Neighborhood Relations for trying to shape this change in positive ways. I appreciate that.
And
what
I do too.
Really upsets me is the unilateral decision making of the city manager about this program.
Well, Mike, here's my question. I haven't ran it by an attorney yet, but he runs the city, and I've been told, I don't know, but it is a conflict of interest with him being ahead of the neighborhood housing authority, doing both things. That's just what I was told. I don't know how true that is, but we need somebody to replace Sasha or to take over that position. It cannot keep being ran by the city manager.
I think that's a valid concern. And again, this deals with issues that are not directly related to what we're dealing with tonight, but in certainly indirectly related as it goes to the arrogance of our city manager. I can't help but think that we should have been involved in these discussions prior to him making the decision. And again, that's no reflection on Monique and LaToya and any of the people at Neighborhood Relations. That is a reflection of him.
On our city manager.
Yes.
May I add a couple of things? Thank you, LaToya. Thank you, Monique. Thank you, Sarah, for doing everything that you guys do for us. I know that we bitch and whine and moan and complain to you guys a lot, but we do it out of love, not out of disrespect. So thank you for being our allies. Secondly, you know, this is why I wrote the email that I wrote yesterday. I have real concerns about the way things are going. I have real concerns about them trying to take our voices as community leaders and neighborhoods away. I have real concerns that, you know, our NIA funding is going to be affected next. Our CAC funding is going to be affected next. And that, you know, we're once that we used to have some voice and some power, we may not. And like I said in my email, I do not want that to happen under my watch. I really don't. Like I passionately believe in the neighborhood work that all of us do in all of our neighborhoods.
Right.
And the one good thing that I will say about Monique having to report to our city manager is if Neighborhood Relations is directly under the city manager, guess what? He's our new Sasha. When we get really mad, he has to hear from us. And that may end up being a good thing for neighborhoods and the communities within Topeka. that may be a good thing if we do it the right way.
Well, and I would remind those on this call and others as we share this information with others, not only is he responsible ultimately to us, but he's also responsible to the city council. They hire and fire the city manager. And so our city council members need to hear about this as well.
Very true. In the last 2 or 3 years, the NIAs have lost more and more of their power to do anything. And I can't say why. I do know why, but it's hurting the neighborhoods because we have less and less power to do anything. And it ties the hands of Monique and Latoria and Sarah and all them up because they can't do anything either. But I don't know. The comment was made by someone to me that eventually they want to phase out the NIAs. They think it's a waste of time and a waste of money the way they're doing it, that the city can run it and do it better. And so it just frustrates me because I have to sit on who told me, but it's just, you know, we need the NIAs because the city does not see us as individual neighborhoods. All they see is downtown and big things like that. They do not see the small people. So we need to keep this NIA going and have to keep fighting for our funding because it's necessary.
Yeah, I always kind of talk about the graybeards. And of course, as you can see visually, literally the graybeards in my case, the people who have been around these issues for quite a while. This is my 24th year doing this. Ultimately, yes, because I'm fighting for people who need to have a voice. But I've seen a lot of people and a lot of changes happen at that department, also at the city council level. And I would tend to agree with Teresa in that there's always been this strain, sometimes below the surface and sometimes just above it. Going back to 2005, when we were one step away from abolishing the city's NIAs. It was only because Mayor Bunton vetoed it at that point that it didn't happen, that there is a disrespect present amongst some of our elected officials over the years of the work we do and the importance of the work that we do to neighborhoods that have traditionally been neglected by the city. So again, I would refer back to the need to get the city council involved in this because a lot of things happen at the city manager's level that our city council members don't always know about. They need to be made aware of the decision making that happened here, of how we were excluded at the front end of that decision making, and how it has put neighborhood relations staff in a very tough position trying to make the best out of a bad situation that was created by our city manager.
Very true. I do want to say that my city council person, Ms. Christina Alcala, she is on board with me and we do discuss a lot of things. And she's very, very helpful. Big change from the 4 years I had nobody.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your comments. We're going to come, back to that here as we come to the end. But are there any other specific questions about the Love to People program? Any other comments specifically about that program? If not, then we'll move directly into questions just overall, or comments just overall. Okay. We will move on into questions or comments overall. So we'll go ahead.
This is Courtney, and I'm probably the young one who will get made fun of for asking this, but what is the policy on neighborhoods doing fundraising for themselves?
So there is no policy on neighborhoods doing fundraising for themselves outside of the funding that our department provides. Whatever the neighborhoods want to do, it's up to the neighborhoods. The only funding that we have any governing over or any say-so over is the funding provided by HUD, the CDBG funding.
Okay.
I have one more question about the Love Topeka real quick. I'm sorry, it just popped in my head. So the up to $2,500 that you can get, can that go directly to the NIA for the NIA to the NIA's general fund?
No, if that answers your question. It would have to be something that is specifically dedicated towards an identified project. And that identified project has to be approved by the CAC. So it couldn't just be used to increase your neighborhood support funds, no. It would have to have a specific purpose.
And James, if I can expound on that. The reason being is because ideally, these three programs would be a separate accounting activity line for accountant, and everything that she used for this $20,000 for the Love Topeka program, she has to manage those funds. She's the fiduciary agent for this activity, so it could not be given directly to an NIA.
I have a question. So is it written in stone that the empowerment grant's gone?
So, Teresa, the only thing that I can tell you is that I've been in conversation about the empowerment grant for the last probably almost 3 weeks. I was told the final decision was made. The dollar amount was a little less than $60,000, and I advocated as much as I possibly could, and I was finally told $45,000 the minimum, $60,000 the is the maximum, and that's his final decision. So,
and that came from who? Who made the decision?
The city manager.
Okay.
I had a question just to kind of straighten up the timeline in my head. The funds that we're talking about, are they 2020 funds, 2021 funds?
Well, Michael, they are 2020 funds. Well, they're all funds going forward. They were dedicated to the program, but they're going to utilize the 2020 empowerment funds as soon as possible to be able to start the weatherization program. Their goal is to start it before 2020 ends.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding that there's a HUD mandated, if these are HUD funds, and I'm assuming they are, that
yes,
there's a HUD mandated comment period of 30 days.
Yes, sir. And that's why we wanted to urgently prepare you to provide this information to you so you can make those comments.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When is the survey coming out?
On Friday. Now, you can send over whatever questions you want, but this is the reason that we created the survey so everyone knows. We created it so there could be one document, it can be uploaded, LaToy can then gather all the data, and then after the last date to be able to complete the survey, everything can be dispersed to you, and then we can go over that on the 8th. We just wanted to make sure that everyone's voice, comments, and questions are captured, and that's the best way we thought we could do it, versus having 100 emails. We could hopefully put it all into one document and then be able to share that report out.
Okay.
Can we come up with a program on our own? Maybe a couple of us get together and read some of these HUD guidelines and say, hey, you know, maybe there's this need in a community or whatever, and have that be included?
Sure you can. The only thing that I would say is please do it sooner than later, because it has to be vetted. What we've done is we worked on these, we had to go back, start again, massage, change, because it has to be vetted for the eligibility. So if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. I just would suggest sooner than later, so at least I can provide it to have it vetted, which is usually taking about anywhere from 48 to 72 hours. So the sooner the better, yes.
Monique, this is Mark. I attended our last special meeting. I think that was that was last week. I'm losing track of my dates. I think it was the 16th. Don't quote me. But at that time, I had asked for performance measures for the emergency and accessibility programs and a list of eligible activities. Do I need to, I mean, I have not heard back, and I know Corey was the presenter. So I'm just kind of curious because I think that's also, but I don't know, I could be wrong. I don't want to speak for James, but I think it would be nice to see the listing. So maybe we could go through and look at it. I don't know, I guess I'm just wanting to know, do I need to follow up with Corey? I sent an email in response to James.
Sure, that would be my recommendation, is that you contact Mr. Wright directly.
Okay.
And maybe ask her for time. When is expected time frame that it could be provided to you? Unfortunately, those aren't my programs, and so
right.
I have performance measures on what we our programs, but I'm afraid I don't have any additional information on that. So, Mr. Okay. Wright,
well, I'll make sure that I forward that and CCA everybody on it. Okay. That way, I can get that taken care of. Because again, kind of going back to my email. It just seems like things were delayed, and I realized we had issues with coronavirus, but I think it could have been the presentation of the marketing study could have been taken care of maybe sooner by Zoom. To fuel anything, I'm just stating what is in my observation, and now I feel kind of like we're behind the eight ball. Minute, and I'm a person that's more proactive than reactive. We talk a lot about transparency, so I think, you know, it's communication's essential. We need to know that. How can we assist others if we're not informed later on? And did we not have a special committee that reviewed the market study and made suggestions that I think went along with this weatherization program? Is that correct, or am I incorrect?
So there's a housing subcommittee, but I'm afraid, I don't know if there, I believe Susan may be on that, and I don't know who else on the call is. You'd have to make that inquiry with them. I don't know the specifics of their
committee. All right. Well, thank you, Monique. And Sarah, everything, because you know you've been very upfront, and that's appreciated, and I appreciate all your efforts.
This is Teresa again. If you've noticed, and it's in a lot of departments, and even Latoria and Monique and them are getting left out of some of this. Transparency in the last couple years have gone out the window again. And even the people in departments that need to know stuff are not getting told stuff to the very, very last minute. And then they need to hustle and try to make things better. And it makes them look terrible because they get the information at the very last moment too. So the transparency at the top of our city is really getting bad. And we need to call them out on it again. I cannot be the only one that keeps calling them out because it makes me just look like Teresa the pain in the you-know-what is doing again. So please, with this transparency, we need to remind our city council and our city manager and some of the heads of the departments, transparency is very important to our city.
Well, and not only transparency, Teresa, and I can tell you, you're not the only one out there sounding that horn. There have been a number of people over the years that have had that concern, but I guess I can refer, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Strong Towns, and look it up online if you're not. And one of the things that they espouse is bottom-up planning, where all planning related to cities starts with us. Essentially, the city of Topeka, by and large, not completely, but mostly, has operated with the top-down planning yep. paradigm where our elected and appointed officials pat us on the head and say, there, we know what's best for you. That has to change. It's long overdue that we change that. And of course, I understand that there's nothing that our neighborhood relations people can do about that. That's
they
on
can't,
us to make,
they're
cut. That's on us to make our city leaders understand that that's what needs to happen. What I am concerned about with this process, and again, no reflection on our neighborhood relations people, is that I feel like I'm going down a dark hallway, and I'm being asked to make decisions. We're having to deal simultaneously with the elimination of the traditional neighborhood empowerment grant.
That always worked.
And now we have these options that we're having to deal with. And I can't help but think there's a gun being held to my head because of the short turnaround time that yep. we have to make educated decisions on where we're headed. And then relating that to our people so that they can maybe have some opportunity to weigh in on this complete reorganization of this program. And I just don't feel comfortable at this point being in that position.
Well, I will guarantee you, Mike, as soon as I get off this phone, I'm calling my city council person, and I'm sure she will be giving people phone calls tomorrow.
Good. That's where it has to start. And contact them all. If you email council@topeka.org, we'll get a message to all of the council members. And be sure to send that to Brenda Younger over at the city clerk's office so that there's an official record of your communications.
Very true.
One other thing that I just really, really like to add about all this, and one of my huge misgivings about this whole thing with the empowerment grant going away and everything is, you know, the empowerment grant did wonderful things for our community, right? For our individual neighborhoods. And it was something that brought neighborhoods together and brought people together to think like, hey, you know, that, you know, for instance, last year in Oakland, LULAC, the senior center got a lot of money. And that's a great thing for that neighborhood. That impacts hundreds of people a week, you know? So where you take this money away and you put insulation in a house so somebody can save a few hundred bucks a year, you know, yay, that's good. I'm all for saving people money and making sure people that have homes to live in that are well heated and cooled and whatnot, but not at the expense of the community as a larger. It takes away the neighborhood pride. It takes away the community pride. So a couple more houses can have some insulation, and I just don't think it's right.
Well, just to remember, community action already does weatherization program. So why are we needing another one?
Which leads me to this question. And let me give a little backstory here before I ask the question. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, somewhere in that neck of the woods, the city was using bricks and mortar rehab funds for lead-based paint abatement, although there was a specific line item within the HUD budget that we were not applying for, and that line item was for lead-based paint abatement. So I guess that leads me to this question. Is there another line item within the HUD budget that we could be applying for that specifically deals with weatherization so that there might be some funds then that we can combine with what Community Action gets? And it's certainly true, Community Action has that program. I worked at Community Action, I know that, so that we can make a bigger impact, address a concern that's in the housing study, and at the same time not end the Neighborhood Empowerment Grant.
So response to that question, Michael, would be, if I remember correctly, and I'm going to try to quote her as close as I can't possibly can, Mrs. Wright last week, She shared the housing services / DNR budget last week, and there is no, pardon me, James also asked to be able to have the one page budget that you usually receive during these meetings, and when we're able to have them in person, that shows every line item. And I believe that she said she would definitely share that as she created the draft. But at this moment, there are no other programs that they can eliminate or reduce to provide the funding for the weatherization request. The only identified line item in our CDB budget that we create was the empowerment line item.
Right. My question was, are there other HUD funds? Not what we've submitted for, but are there other HUD funds?
If there are, that she would have to seek those, and I don't know if she has or not. I definitely can ask that question of her.
Okay.
I have a question. Are we done with everything else, or we're just doing comment now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because this is Teresa Miller. I'd rather hang up, call my city council person, and get on this right away. So I am going to be leaving the meeting.
Okay.
And I'm calling my city council person. I hope everybody else will too. You guys all have a good evening, and it's been educational. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Teresa.
Bye-bye.
So before we leave, I do have one more question. In regards to, you guys are mentioning festivals and festivities. Do any of us know what's going on with National Night Out yet?
No, that would be a Safe Street Coalition question. They would have to provide that answer for you. That's their program. I haven't seen anything in regards to it being canceled or rescheduled.
I believe the last notice I received from Judy was that it was going to be in October. But I'd have to check my email.
This is Ann. Yeah, the last I spoke to her, and I talked to her a couple of, last month, I guess. I've talked to her a couple of times, and she said it's still on, and it's in October. It's the second Saturday in October. National date. So, and I have a couple of other questions, too. I'm sorry, I'm out at the lake, and I had to leave where I was at, and I think I lost you guys, but I'm back now. There's just no internet out here at all. It's terrible. But anyway, so on the first one of those, the one with the, I made some notes here. For the festival things, will that pay for food? Because I know we can't use our other funding for food.
So to answer that question, no, food still cannot be covered with CDBG funding.
Okay. That's still off the.
Yeah.
So that would be for the organization on the publicity and expenses and maybe entertainment or rental or something like that.
Right. Any of the rentals or, street closures or, like you said, different contractors or, performers, different things like
that. Well, and then here's the second question. Could we use it for our National Night Out meetings or for the National Night Out one to help pay for some of that? Or is that you don't even want to go there?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily rule it out, but it would have to be something that would be approved by the Community Partnership Committee.
Yeah.
And I guess the question that they may ask is, how do they justify funding sort of the National Night Out event for one or two neighborhoods when there are other neighborhoods that are also having the National Night Out event? So it may be more of a, looking at sort of a unique program or festival that's unique to that neighborhood, something that the neighborhood has developed on their own. To maybe create a community building type of project or program where there is no other, funding or anything being kind of funneled into that program. If that sort of answers that question for you, Anne.
Yeah, that does. And then my other comment on here is that the second one, the community development one, mm-hmm. with it only being, I'm concerned a little bit, one, that's so limiting. And there's basically only going to be 5 neighborhoods a year that can even apply for that. And if they don't apply for it, and the money isn't applied for and used, we're going to lose that too. So if there's any way to broaden that out and do it within the HUD guidelines, mm-hmm. I would really encourage, I don't know what you can do. I know you guys said you've had to tweak things, but is that the, does it in there, it says it has to deal with the sort people, or was that your way to have it deal with being gone over with a planner or something?
So yes, as Monique mentioned, these were just kind of things, you know, that we, in the short period of time that we had, just kind of put together what we thought would be, you know, beneficial or helpful to the neighborhoods to be able to continue to do many of the activities and work that you currently do in the neighborhoods, as well as, you know, trying to determine ways to maybe help get more people involved in the neighborhoods and the NIAs. So kind of looking at some different alternatives there. The other thing I will say is that, you know, these programs are not set in stone. So when we send the survey out, if, you know, if you think there should be, you know, a change to how the, you know, as Teresa proposed, maybe it's not just for neighborhoods who've had SORT. Maybe it's for all neighborhoods.
Okay. And, well, I guess I was wondering, was that put in there because there was, you said you had to go by the HUD rules. Mm-hmm. Was there something about HUD rules that had to be in there? Or was that just the way you decided to set it up?
Well, it was really just kind of listening to some of the neighborhoods over the years in that, you know, people had mentioned SORT only covers a portion of the projects and programs that, you know, come out of that comprehensive plan. And so it was kind of like, well, would this be a way to maybe help people get more of those projects done? And if that's not something that the neighborhoods want, you know, we're certainly open to,
well, and I'll be happy to fill that out, but I think we're at a point where we need to be making these more inclusive as opposed to, there's so little of it left at this point. I'd say let's make sure we keep a hold of what we got at least,
okay,
you know, for the next year or so. So, because I can see what happening with only 5 of them, if one or two of them doesn't have anybody that'll sit there and write the grant for it, then you're going to have that money not be used, and they're going to look at that the next couple of years and go, oh, well, you're only using 5,000 of this, so we can put that back into the weatherization or whatever it is the flavor of the month that they need to decide to pay for. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, okay. I will say, you know, these programs, whatever gets proposed is what will go into the Consolidated Action Plan for 2021 through 2025. So that's something that you want to consider. The other thing to mention too is that, you know, the proposed budgets that we have on these can go up or down, you know, depending, as Monique said, we've been given sort of that maximum of between 45 and 60,000. So if, say, like the Topeka Community Development Program, and you want to put all 60,000 in that, that could be your recommendation. As she mentioned, I'll kind of go over that here a little bit about after we see if there are any other questions, kind of what the time frame.
Okay. Well, I will shut up now.
No, you're fine. Fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This is Robert. I have a question from Valley Park.
Uh-huh.
In this survey that you guys were sending out, is there an opportunity to suggest any alternative programs? Has the ship sailed on that? And I know you don't necessarily want to look at reinventing the wheel. Asking particularly because of a program that Susan McClarity had mentioned to me that she had seen some other neighborhoods doing that seemed like could be an interesting approach to some of these funds.
So I would say, Robert, as far as we're concerned, anything that you want to propose at this point is still fair game. And when we send the survey out, yes, there will be a place where you can put that information if that is something that that you're interested in proposing.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay.
Michael.
Are there any other questions or comments? James, do you have something else?
Yeah, this is more addressed to Mr. Bell, because I don't believe he was at the last meeting. And I wanted to say something before Teresa got off. But speaking of the parks and the parties and whatnot, last year the CAC voted to give $500 to every neighborhood coming out of the SORT grant to put on a celebration for their SORT project. So right now, Quinton Heights, Tennessee Town, and Topeka Northwest,
North Topeka West,
are all, we have funding for all three of those neighborhoods to be able to put on their celebration this year. So please don't let that go unused, because we had it, and we want to make sure that it
right. Yeah, I appreciate that. I had computer problems and I wasn't able to log on to that meeting. Valley Parks, Susan McClarity let me know, though, in an email that money was available, and that is greatly appreciated.
Just as an additional comment to that, I will be sending out more information to those three neighborhoods to start talking about how you want to plan to use that money for a ribbon cutting sort of dedication ceremony. So yeah, we'll talk about that, but that's kind of an aside from this conversation, but I will definitely follow up with those three neighborhoods. Any other questions on these programs or sort of the process going forward?
I do have a question. I think I know the answer, but I guess it's one of those things, if you don't ask, you won't know. The guidelines that are being imposed here, are these HUD guidelines, local guidelines, a combination of the two guidelines that has set up this time frame?
So you mean the time frame for when the
us making decisions about these funds?
I believe there's a schedule and an open comment period for the consolidated action plan, which the CAC is basically responsible for providing public comment and recommendations for. This being the 5-year plan, Corey sent out a schedule of, when they're having the public comment meetings, and, this is kind of the CAC schedule. And so I've shared all of that information with the neighborhoods and the CAC as well. Now, this particular line item, as Monique mentioned, was something that we just found out about. So we thought these special programs need to be considered, and then, the neighborhoods need to have an opportunity to decide if this is what they would like to have in the consolidated action plan or not. So
right. And I guess my concern here, we meet every other month, every odd month in Tennessee Town. So we haven't had a meeting since March because of the coronavirus. Our executive committee agreed to hold off on the May meeting because we were in the middle of the state and counties trying to figure out what they were going to do in response to the coronavirus. And so we're going to go with our next meeting being in July, even though there are still questions about where we'll be with the reopening of the state and, of course, then of the county. So I guess the question I had is, has none of that affected any of these deadlines?
We haven't been given any information that the HUD guidelines have changed as far as when we have to have our basically our proposal in for the 2021 through 2025 consolidated action plan. So
the guidelines that were in place are the same ones you're operating. Okay.
Yes.
But Michael, I don't know that anyone has ever posed the question if there can be an extension, a request for an extension. I don't know that question's ever been posed.
Well, let's investigate that, because I think that would be completely reasonable to submit that question to the appropriate people.
And response to that, I think that's a great question, and you would submit that to Corey Wright.
Okay.
Thank you. Wright, you get out, or you're most welcome. Are there any other questions or comments? And please don't apologize for having multiple questions. That's exactly why we set the meeting to be 2 hours. We want to hear your thoughts, your suggestions. We appreciate your passion. We come to work every day, and some days I feel like I've been in a boxing match, but I drive home, and as I heal, my healing comes from knowing that you're passionate about what you do, you care about your community, and our community wouldn't be the same without all of you being leaders out in the front, speaking for the voiceless, and also making sure that we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. What I would just implore you to please think about is if the deadline has to remain the same and HUD doesn't provide any exceptions, that you please think about these three programs. If you have another program you're interested possibly in and letting us vet it to see if we can get it approved, let's please do that as soon as possible. If we can go to the timeline slide, LaToya, and these timelines I came up with only hoping that you could make sure to take enough time to think about these, talk to whomever you possibly can, give us your ideas, provide to us any particular program you may think would work, and then that gives us ample time to go to Corey to have her vet those and for her to say, no, this needs to be tweaked, this doesn't qualify, and then we could go back and forth and be able to have some in-depth conversation on the 8th and then have you vote on the 8th of what programs you'd like to have take place. So I know it seems if we're rushing you, I can only apologize to you that you feel that way. We acknowledge your feelings. We just don't want you to be omitted from the conversation. And so we know you're being rushed, but I can't say I apologize enough. I can just say we're here to support you and are willing to create whatever we need to make sure that your neighborhoods have the opportunity to have a community building component via the CDBG funding. If there are no other questions, LaToya, let's go through the timeline, please. And since it's in front of you and probably a little larger font, I'll have you go ahead and read that out if you don't mind.
Okay, so the timeline is that by June 26th, this presentation that we're all on right now, the recording, it'll be the audio recording, will be made available on the CAC webpage, as well as this document will be also be available on the CAC webpage by this Friday. June 24th through July 7th, if you have any additional questions or comments, you know, things that you think about after this meeting, if you would email those to Monique, and I've copied her email here, and copy me just in case if she's out of the office or anything like that, we can make sure to get those answers to you. And then June 26th through July 7th, the survey will be made available online. So you can answer questions now. Again, this survey is specific to the programs that we presented tonight. However, there will be a place where you can, you know, make additional comments about things that you would like to see in the consolidated action plan that maybe were not in the plan that was proposed by Corey last week. And then July 8th, as Monique mentioned, is the next CAC meeting. We always skip that first week in July because of the holiday. So any All of the survey results will basically be shared at the CAC meeting. And then, as Monique mentioned, we will kind of vote from there on where the CAC would like to go with it. So that's the timeline, and we'll get this information out to everybody as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for all your work on this.
You're welcome. Please, any questions that you have, you can ask as many as you'd like. Please remember what LaToya indicated, to email them to myself, CC LaToya. I will be furloughed multiple days between now and July 8th. And so I just want to make sure that your questions aren't overlooked. I will keep the city manager apprised. We will provide him with this presentation and the notes as well, and apprised of your comments and of your recommendations as well. What we do know is that, as Michael indicated, I was going to tell you, Michael, what a beautiful and dashing looking gray beard. And I like it. It's very nice.
It's a function of not having razor blades, and the hair is a function of not being able to get to the barber shop.
Well, it looks good.
It's purely accidental.
it's very dashing on you, sir. You're most welcome. My reason for saying this, is that there may be times that you don't agree with our thoughts and some of the guidelines that are imposed upon us that we then have to impose upon you. But do understand this, is that the Division of Community Engagement knows and appreciates your commitment and your passion to this community. And there are many other things that LaToya, myself, Sarah, and Rhonda could be doing, but we wouldn't want to do it because it would be without you. And that I don't get anything for saying that to you. That's just very sincere. And so we're going to get through this no matter what it looks like, because you are go-getters, you are fighters, and you speak for the people. So we look forward to the next few weeks of just forging ahead with this, making whatever changes, molding whatever programs we need to ensure that you can continue to do the great work that you do. So do accept our apologies for this huge inconvenience, but do know that we are here to be your helpmates.
And we appreciate that. And certainly, you know, we discussed earlier on the call what needs to happen next as far as contacting our elected officials. But we certainly appreciate your efforts to work with us, because we don't get anything done if that's not the case. So we really do appreciate that.
The pleasure is ours. So to each of you, have a good evening. Thank you for devoting the last 2 hours to us. We look forward to the great comments, suggestions, the phone calls, and the emails. Please send them our way, and we will look forward to speaking with you in between the 8th and then again on the 8th as well. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
I move that we end the meeting.
Do we have a second? All right.
Unmute yourself and sit.
So who moved to end the meeting?
Courtney. I did.
Who seconded? Is there anything anybody else would like to discuss? Then can we move to end the meeting again?
I moved to end the meeting.
I will second it. All in favor? Aye. Aye.
There's only 6 of us left.
I believe the ayes have it.
All opposed? Nay. No. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great evening. And let's get it going. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.